Hello, welcome to The American Pulse. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that seeks to listen, express, and amplify the voice of the American people, no matter where you live in this great nation. We are unabashedly pro-humanity, pro-freedom, and pro-America. Welcome, and let's get started. Hello, listeners, and thank you for tuning in to The American Pulse. Well, as we turn the calendar over and start to see the November general election coming into sight, I thought it would be a good chance to have some of our good candidates on for a chat so you can get to know them a bit better and hopefully earn your vote. My hope is that you see that these are really good humans that genuinely want what's best for our nation and our beloved state. The mainstream media and their various minions have done a great job of demonizing anyone that does not agree with the most radical left ideas, such as biological men should be able to compete in women's sports, or that it is good to have light or no sentencing for repeat violent criminal offenders, or that you don't even have to be an American to vote in our elections. Come again? And it's interesting to me to note that opposing these strange radical ideas even 15 or 20 years ago would have been right in the wheelhouse of Kennedy liberals, but the old Kennedy liberal has been jettisoned by their own party. Now, my sense is common sense Democrats are too frightened here to speak up against the rising tide of radicalism that has overrun their own party. I know this because I've heard many of these old school Democrats express this very thing on social media. The core question for all Americans remains, what is good for our nation? What is good for Washington State? And what is good for we the people? And can we have an honest debate about that where both sides can express their views without being shouted down? We seem long overdue for this, don't we? My guest today is an excellent example of ordinary Americans that are stepping up to help us all. It is people like this that give me hope that we, the people from all walks of life and political persuasions, still want to see future generations thrive in this great American experiment. Let's get to the interview. It's a good one. Enjoy the conversation. Today's episode is brought to you by The Renton Printery. From huge outdoor banners to small hard hat decals, The Renton Printery produce top quality, customizable, full color decals, business cards, letterhead, envelopes, signs, table tents, and more. The Renton Printery is a small, independent, veteran-owned business since 1957. For all your printing needs, go to www.rentonprintery.com. And now, on to our episode. My guest today is Doug Basler. Doug is a husband and father, the founder and CEO of Prologue Digital Inc., a Washington-based advertising and video production company. He has served the public as a former vice chairman of the King County Republican Party and is the former president of the Eastside Republican Club. He is now running for U.S. Congress in the 9th District, something we talk about in depth today. Enjoy the interview. All right. I am here with Doug Basler, entrepreneur, candidate for U.S. Congress, husband, father, Doug Basler. Doug, welcome to the American Pulse. It is great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Tony. Glad to be here.
Yeah, you know, you're running for U.S. Congress in District 9, and I just love the way you're running your campaign. You're just going right at the truth of the matter. And one of the reasons that we're doing this kind of candidate series, we're getting all these out, is we really want people to know conservatives. We've been so demonized in the media by the left, and in particular in a blue state like Washington. It's just like the media here just runs roughshod. It has conservatives kind of trying to hide and not tell the truth about who we are, what our values are, but that's not you. Thankfully. And so before we really get rolling, I wanted to give you a chance to introduce yourself, just kind of maybe where you grew up, what you've done for work. You've got a great business that you run that you founded. And yeah, just give us any kind of relevant information before we get into the campaign and what you're doing. And then also all the stuff on the website that's so great to talk about.
Sure. Well, again, thanks for having me. So I lived in Washington State pretty much my whole life. Was born over in Spokane. I actually moved down to Vancouver, Washington for a number of years. And but I always wanted to really, I really wanted to live in the Seattle area. And so about 20 years ago, I got a position with Car Toys. And so I moved up here to take that job. Loved it. I mean, just think of Seattle 20 years ago, right?
So oh, yeah, it was
amazing,
great.
Amazing,
yeah.
Right? Just yep. I always said there was three of the most beautiful cities were on the West Coast, and it was Seattle, Portland, and San Diego. And now the only one that's left is San Diego because Portland's been destroyed. Seattle's being destroyed, and it's just heartbreaking. Yep. And, you know, I'm running because I love this area, and I have a really good friend that moved to Texas, and I talked to him earlier today, and he's like, you should move to Texas. And I'm like, well, first of all, it's too hot, too flat. I like mountains. I like water. I love the fact that it's 40 degrees to 80 degrees all year around here. I love that. Why should we let them have it? It's worth fighting for. So I've run for this particular office a couple of times. I'm married. I just celebrated my 44th anniversary, and we have five kids, and those are all boys except for the four girls, and then we have three grandkids, and I own an advertising agency, video production company called Prologue Digital. I love going to work. I get to make commercials. I mean, how cool is that, right?
Very.
And got a great team. Like I said, I really love the area. I love my neighbors. I love the people. I'm a former youth pastor, and I'm a former, I've done a lot of I play guitar at church and stuff like that. So I've done a lot of worship stuff and this and that. And as just a person of faith, I really feel like good things are worth having, and I want the best for the 9th District, really for Washington State. And that's why I'm in.
That's so great, Doug. I mean, it's you're running for all the right reasons, and you're exactly the type of man that we want in there. We've got such entrenched career politicians that have been bought off, and on both sides, frankly, it's like it's so refreshing to hear somebody that is, genuinely trying to serve for the betterment of Washington. And one of the things that I was really interested in talking to you about, you represent the entrepreneurial class, and for me, that is the American backbone, is entrepreneurs, people that start their own business. I mean, people move here. I don't care that the left says America's evil and we're the most terrible country in the world. People still move here for the opportunities that this country provides. To be an entrepreneur, many people all over the world just want a chance at the opportunities that Americans have to own their own business, to set their own course. And here we are in Washington. I wanted to give you a chance, since you're representing really entrepreneurs and everyday Americans. We're seeing where there's not businesses are leaving, or young people are saving up to move to start their American dream in a state that's more red, where they're not going to be so punished. What are you seeing? Like, why are businesses leaving? I mean, even, we have a mayor here that's like, goodbye, businesses. Like, that's not even a priority to make this a business-friendly state.
Well, it's complete ignorance of how an economy works. And again, this whole socialism thing. So obviously in my primary race, I had the notorious, very famous, high name ID, Kashama Sawant, want to ran as an independent socialist. And so it really caused me to really study Marxism and stuff. So I really got into that and checked it out. And realistically, the other party, the Democrat Party, that it's whether they call themselves Democratic Socialists or not, many of their policies are socialist. But this idea that the job creators, the entrepreneurs, are the enemy, the reason Seattle is great is because of Boeing and Google and Starbucks and all these great companies, right? Costco is a Seattle, this is that's who we are, right? And that's why, I was downtown a couple of days ago, and it was kind of disappointing because I'd been down there, last year, a year before, and there was all these cranes. They actually talked. I don't know, Tony, if you heard about that. They were thinking about making the crane the state bird because there was so much construction, right? All these cranes everywhere. Well, there's no cranes. There was like one crane down there in Seattle. And you know where all the cranes are? They're in
Where?
Bellevue. There was 451. 451. Now, that's a famous book title. It's the I think books burn at 451 degrees or something. Anyway, but there was 451 Amazon employees in Bellevue 2 years ago. You know how many there are in Bellevue today?
How many?
15,000. And you
Whoa.
know where they came from? Seattle.
Yeah.
That's the effect of tax the rich. That's the effect of the rich have to pay their fair share and all this kind of stuff. The rich, they can move. They can go places. And
Yeah.
now you've got in the city of Seattle almost 40% vacancy in real estate in the city itself. In this type of a environment, the money goes, it moves. Well, all the jobs went too. And that's the other thing. They don't understand that. So it wasn't just Amazon that got hit. It's the guy out on the street selling hot dogs during lunchtime. It's the
Yep.
barber. It's the cleaners. It's the gym. It's all these
I
other
know.
businesses, right, that were right there that depended on those 15,000 people taking lunch and after work and dropping off the kids and all that stuff, right? All the parking lots and the transportation. So this is a very this is a problem. And
Yeah.
I don't want to tax the millionaires to death. I want all of your listeners to be millionaires. I'm the economic opportunity guy. I want to create an environment where you make money and the government doesn't have to take care of you.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. You and I have both done a deep dives recently on socialism, Marxism, for different reasons. I did an interview with Semi Bird, and his ears perked up when I mentioned cultural Marxism and the impact. And so he's like, let's do an episode on that. So him and I kind of did our own like rabbit hole. I'd been down that rabbit hole a few times with other guests, so I was familiar with the terrain. But I was really pleased on your website. I went to go check you out and support your candidacy. And you had a graphic on there of socialism and American capitalism. And it was really beautifully done. I'm not surprised, since you own an ad and graphic business, that it looked really beautiful. And it was, I encourage the listeners to go check it out, because it's really informative, it's really educational, and it may pique your interest in exploring the differences between American capitalism and socialism. But I wanted to grab a couple of them that you had on there. One you had that I thought was socialism means compassion. And God, Doug, we see this so much, where the Marxists, they love to weaponize virtue signaling. And when they say their side is they imply their side is the good guys, and that they're the only ones that can have compassion. Like, it's so absurd to think of the arrogance of saying our side really knows compassion. Whoever's over there on the right, we don't really know, but they could not have compassion and kindness for other people. It's just they, and really what it comes down to is they categorize unkindness as anything you disagree with them, right? And so it's like, it stifles any kind of debate or dialogue about these really important things that we need to talk about from both sides. They try to monopolize the whole "we're the good guys" mentality to stifle debate, because we've got the better ideas. It's a slam dunk, but they're like, no, we can't talk to them. They're unkind. It's like, I don't know. I'd give you a chance to talk about it. To me, it's just absurd, but.
I agree. So the issue with socialism is it is 100% dependent on deception.
Right.
Because what happens? Why do they shut down debate? Why do they make it, I don't know if you read Rules for Radical Saul Alinsky, but they always make it about the person is bad, therefore the person, the motives, all that's bad, therefore everything they say is bad. That way, I don't have to talk to you because you can't. As Hillary Clinton famously said, they're irredeemable. They're deplorable. They're just bad, and there's nothing we can do about it. We just need to basically ignore them or put them in jail or whatever. And so that's a tactic to shut down argument because, if they talk to you, Tony, or they talk to me, and we talked about ideas, they would lose, and they know it. And so that's why it has to be Donald Trump is evil. He's bad. So what they do is now they've applied that to the system of capitalism. Capitalism is greed. That's what they say. But you know what? Socialism's way more greedy than capitalism because you didn't even earn it and you want to take it, right? I want the billionaires to pay for my health care and all this kind of stuff. Capitalism, I love what Rabbi Lappin was talking about. He kind of explained it. It's like his grandpa used to go around and they would say, "Do you have any old furniture or whatever you don't want?" And they'd say, "Oh, I got this table that's broke, got a scratch and the leg's broken." And he's, "Well, I'll give you a dollar for it." And they're like, "Oh, great." So they get rid of it. They got a dollar. Then he goes and he fixes the scratch and he paints it and he fixes the leg. And somebody else needs a table and he sells it to them for $5. And they're happy because they got didn't have to go buy a brand new table. They got a, $20 table for $5. The other person got the dollar and he got the profit. And so he made $4 by working and fixing that table. That's capitalism. Guess who won? Everybody. They all won. And that's what true capitalism is. If you're, as a business person, I can tell you, if I don't bring value to my clients, they're not going to use me. It's like the ultimate accountability, right? If I can't provide, if I'm an auto mechanic and I can't fix your car, guess what? People aren't going to go to you. Capitalism doesn't force you to spend money. It gives you the opportunity to provide value for a reasonable profit. Is capitalism able to be abused? Absolutely. Hey, freedom is great. We love freedom, right? We want to be able to go where we want to go, marry who we want to marry. We want to have as many kids as we want. We want to work where we want to work. Freedom is awesome. Can freedom be abused? Yes. So does
Absolutely.
that make freedom bad? No, it makes freedom great and it makes people bad. And that's why we have cops and jails and, prisons and stuff, which, according to the socialists, you're not responsible for your crime. This a Marxist thing is your environment, this terrible environment that you live in, everything is awful. And so you're just acting out. And so you're really not responsible for that. And so you have this Marxist thing makes everybody else, it's like Sigmund Freud, right? The Sigmund Freud and the guy that did the evolution, they all were about the same time.
Charles
And
Darwin.
Charles Darwin, Sigmund Freud, and Karl Marx, all in that mid 1800s, right? It's like an unholy trinity. There's no God, you're not responsible for anything, and we need to make government God, right? So I have another friend of mine, maybe you should interview him, Nirav Sheth. He's running against Pramila Jayapal in the seventh. And I was quoting the song Bruce Springsteen, "Poor man wants to be rich, rich man wants to be king." And he said, "And king wants to be God." And I'm like, yep, there you go. Bruce Springsteen needs to write another verse for that if he ever comes back to being a normal person again. But the idea that somehow these injustices that they're talking, supposed injustices that they're talking about are going to be fixed by giving the government more power and us less freedom. That is like, no, hello, we need to let people know less freedom, less choice, less and more government control is a recipe for disaster. Show me one country, Tony, where socialism's worked, and I'm you can't. It doesn't work. It just destroys freedom. The socialist countries, USSR, China, they put up walls to keep people in. They turn their own countries into prisons because nobody wants to live like that. And America is so terrible. Then why is the whole world trying to get in here? Bill Maher said during his little tirade in July that all these FIFA people that came to America were like, "Hey, America lives like a, you guys live like rock stars." We do. We all have phones and cars. We have air conditioning. We have any kind of food you want. We live incredible lives. That happened because of socialism, not because of socialism, but because of capitalism and because people are providing value and we have jobs and we can start businesses. People come to America from other countries, like my friend Nirav Sheth and others I know, and they go, "I can start a business, I can make money," and they become wildly successful in our system. And yet our school systems teach, my wife said once, we homeschool our kids. My wife said once, the school system's only good for, teaching kids how to work in a factory or teaching them how to go to prison. That's all it's good for.
Exactly. You know, I have a short story. Like when I lived in New York City, we had a couple of friends of ours were Austrian, and they were just astounded by America. And I was like, "What is it? What is it about it? Like, what? Why do you? What's your impression? You've lived here for a year." And my friend said, "You know," he goes, "here's an example." He goes, "If I have an idea for a business in Austria, and I go down to the pub and I start talking about my business, my idea that I want to start, everybody's going to tell me all the ways that I can't do it. And it's never going to work. No, the government's not going to let you do that. Oh, there's a lot of restrictions." And he goes, "After a week of that, I don't even, it's like, I'm not going to do it. Like, I'm not getting any kind of wind at my sail." He goes, "If I mention a business idea here in America at a pub, a couple times down to the pub talking about it, Americans get so excited for your idea. They're so optimistic and can do that they're going to say, I know who you should talk to. You should talk to Doug Basler because he's been in that. He started a business like that. He'll connect you and he'll teach you all about, you know, the pros and cons of that. Or I'll put you in touch with Kathy. Kathy is in that industry. She's done startups and she can help you." And he goes, "You get excited for your business idea because Americans really are like about like, let's get you going. I know some people, I have some resources." And he goes, "That's the biggest difference." He goes, "Everything can go here. It's green light here." He goes, "Back home in Europe, it's red light. Like nobody's like, oh no, you can't do it." He's like, "Everybody's just so stuck in this kind of cynicism and resignation of like, you can't rise above the socialist, you know, ceiling. And you can't because the ideas can't fly there." Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'll tell you, in most countries of the world, you can't just start a business. Here in America, you can just knock on the next door neighbor's door and say, "Can I mow your lawn?" So my daughter, this was a few years ago, she was like, "Dad, I need some money. Can I mow the lawn?" And I said, "Sure, you know, I'll give you $25, mow the lawn." I had to show her how to start the lawnmower, how to do it straight. Then about, you know, she took her about an hour. She came in, she goes, "You know, our neighbor needs their lawn mowed. Could you go over there with me?" And my neighbor's like, "Sure, I'll pay you $25." So 2 hours later, she's got $50 in her pocket.
Nice.
I said, "Do you know why you got $50?" She goes, "'Cause I mowed the lawn." I go, "No, 'cause you're in business for yourself. You went out and you did the job. You got paid good." I said, "But you know, your little sister doesn't have any money, so I think we should take $25 and give it to her." And she goes, "Dad, that's not fair." And I said, "Honey, congratulations. You are a Republican."
Exactly. That was a good lesson, Doug. Way to go. You know what did happen to Bruce Springsteen? Not to get off topic, man. I used to love him, and now I'm like, what in the heck is going on with him? He's been bought by the globalists, I think, right?
I don't know, man. You
He's
get
lost.
300-400 million bucks and, you know, you're out of touch. You're no longer the working class guy from New Jersey. It's just a shame. And, you know, I still like the songs. The songs are good,
Oh,
but,
he's yeah.
you know, I have to admit, I listen to, you know, Bruce Springsteen music, but yeah, I don't want to listen to him talk. You know,
No,
that's
God,
the
no.
deal, right? These entertainers, they do movies, they do music and stuff like that. That's cool. Do that. Don't try to tell me how to vote. You
Yeah,
know, don't tell me
exactly.
that. That's not why I talk to you. I'll talk to my favorite political commentator, not you. But
Well, Doug, thanks so much for coming on American Pulse. Really great to chat with you. Where can people find your website? Where can they support you? What's the hub of operations? Just give us that information so the listeners know where to connect with you.
sure. You can see some really great commercials. We did the Lego Movie one. We did a Wizard of Oz. I did Saturday morning cartoon. I got a brand new one out. It's all on my website. It's also great to hit the red button, the big one that says donate. That's always good to give us some money, help us get those commercials on TV and streaming and whatnot. It's DougBassler.com. Very easy. DougBassler. And love to, you know, you can also contact me there, reach out, that type of thing.
Beautiful. Well, Doug, thanks so much for coming on American Pulse. Good luck. We're going to be praying and cheering and supporting you all the way. And I can't think of a better man to get in there than you right now. You've just the way you are, and you're just honest, and you really care about Washington. We need a whole bunch of people just like you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. I believe Doug would be a great congressman representing We the People. Let's get out and vote in November and get him over the finish line. And make sure you give us a follow on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast content. Thank you, listeners. And we'll catch up with you next time on The American Pulse.